It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When Norm was out on the casting call, who did Cheers turn to?
The police!
When Mike Tyson became the youngest heavyweight champion in history and no sparring partners could be found, who did the champ turn to?
The police!
Now, this world-renowned barfly slash pugilist has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul LaVoy!
His pronouns are he, him, and hungry. Really?
All right, thank you very much, Marissa June. I know I couldn't hear anything either. Somebody was playing with the board over here. We get kids in the studio, right? That's kind of a joke. Anyway, Chris Hennigan is here. I'm sorry, Shelby Hennigan and Chris Gilbert. Boy, kind of thrown off there by the lack of music on the intro. And we're talking about general plan update for 2026.
Yes.
Exciting stuff. And we have talked about this before, but we're in another stage of the game here where there's public input involved. But before we get to all of that, and we've got Doug Segesser coming in at the bottom of the hour. He's the CFO for the hospital here, for Havasu Regional Medical Center and for Valley View Medical Center, LifePoint Hospitals. And they've gotten some awards recently. Not only that, but they're going to have a new CEO soon. And that announcement was made, I saw it in the paper yesterday. So very recent that the current CEO is stepping down after two or three years, and then that's at Valley View. And then they will do a nationwide search, find a replacement for him. So Doug will give us the, what is it, the 411 on that?
Yeah, the down low.
The 211 or the 411? It's not the 911, obviously, right?
Exactly.
But big event going on at Smith's this Saturday, April 11th, 9 a.m. to noon. It's called Stuff the Truck, and this is the Havasu Community Health Foundation Food Bank needs your help to stuff the truck and help fill their shelves by donating food items. And if you know Colleen Mattinson, that's her in the driver's seat right there.
Oh, that's a great app.
Yeah.
I like that.
Right. The big truck will be there from 9 a.m. until noon. And they're looking for canned meat, tuna, Spam, chicken, ravioli, canned fruits and veggies, soups and crackers, peanut butter. Also, mac and cheese and cereal. They just had a big peanut butter drive in the north part of the county. They're in, I wouldn't say north part, but the Bullhead City area, Bullhead City, Laughlin. It's said that they collected like 57,000 containers of peanut butter.
That's a lot of sandwiches.
That's a lot of peanut butter. Like, the state of Georgia would be proud, wouldn't they? Anyway, and then you got, of course, mac and cheese and cereal, as I mentioned. But 9 a.m. to noon, stuff the truck at Smith's. I believe they'll probably take monetary donations as well, because money goes a long, long way in the food bank business. They can buy in bulk where you can't. So Havasu Community Health Foundation Food Bank, help them fill their shelves by donating food items this Saturday. And we are talking now about the general plan. Mm-hmm. So where are we, Chris? Chris Gilbert?
Yes, thank you. The general plan was started in 2024, so it's been a two-year process. We're in the last phase of it now. By last phase, that's the celebrate phase, you could say, where the plan's been put together and it's out for the 60-day mandatory review under state statute right now. And that 60-day window is up on April 18th. And previous to that deadline, if anyone still wants to go on to the city's website to get into the general plan to make any comments or edits, now's the time to do it because we're running out of time and there's about 2 weeks left.
About 2 weeks then. Where do they find the general plan online, Shelby?
So you can go to the city's website. There's a link on our homepage. Or we also have a direct page for our general plan, which is publicinput.com/Lake Havasu General Plan. And you can view the entire plan on there, make comments on there, comments in different sections. It's very easy to use, very user-friendly.
Okay.
And so the next steps after that closes on the 18th, is staff will respond to all the comments along with our consultant that were received, and that could be hundreds of comments, and that's mandatory to under statute. And then we will start the public hearing process on May 6th at the school district headquarters building, Building C, I believe it is. And that's where the first public hearing will be at, and then there will be no action taken that night. There will be nothing else on the agenda, just presentation and comment. And then on May 20th will be the second meeting before the Planning Commission. That will involve action to forward a recommendation to the City Council. And then it'll go to Council in June, mm-hmm. and then it's expected that they will then bind it over for a vote of the people in the November general election. So that's the remaining steps.
Now, this is not unique to Lake Havasu City, is it?
No.
This year. I've heard of Bullhead City doing the same thing, Kingman possibly. Mm-hmm. What cities, are all cities that are incorporated do a general plan every 10 years?
Statute requires incorporated cities, as would they have also rules for counties to do a similar action. But for cities, it's 10 years, and the magnitude of the document they have to do depends on their population. So at 60,000, we've exceeded all the barriers that in the past might have held us to a smaller document. Now we have to do the whole thing, and so that two-year process is about normal for that, given the different public involvement efforts that we made over the last year and a half. It takes that much time just to get the word out and get people notified on what's going on and to get them involved.
Shelby, what's in the current general plan?
So the current general plan that we have was really focused on what the city looked like in 2016, what the goals were, what the growth patterns were. But it covered a lot of the same topics. So we talked about open space, traffic, transportation, economic growth, housing opportunities. And what we essentially do with this is we get community input, we look at how things have changed in 10 years, and we update that to basically what we call existing conditions. What's different now? How have our priorities changed? How's the population changed and our needs?
Chris, how has that plan changed since 2016? We've talked about this before. There were a lot of items on the 2016, from what I understand. Is it simplified now, this go-around?
Yes, it is. The 2016 document had an extremely large number of land use categories, as well as large numbers of goals, objectives, policies, and the different terms for the different categories of 30,000 foot level planning stuff, and that's been all boiled down to a limited number of categories. I believe 7 or 8 total, and that's far more manageable, and there's less chance for having the kinds of problems that we had over the last 10 years, where you misclassified areas would occur, that kind of thing. So we have a map now is prepared that's clean, and all the existing areas are properly represented, and all the planned areas are what they're supposed to be. And it's a lot easier to determine when you have 7 categories instead of 15 as to what you're supposed to be doing with that.
How binding is this plan over the next 10 years?
Should
it be approved?
As always, a general plan, in other states called a comprehensive plan, is a 30,000-foot high-level planning document that's a guide. It's not the same thing as a zoning ordinance. A zoning ordinance is where the rubber meets the road and actually enforces codes and grants entitlements. The general plan is used to get sometimes there. For example, if you have to rezone a property and the land use category underlying it does not fit what you want to zone it to, then that either requires the council to agree to an amendment through the public hearing process or to just say no and then it stays what it is. So that's where that comes into play. The future land use map is probably the biggest, most important component of the general plan.
I was going to say, tell me about that future land use map. What are some of the general highlights there?
Well,
again, is that where you're getting most of the comments?
We're getting a lot of comments on the map, but a lot of comments also from some of the objectives, goals, objectives, policies. And the map's the important part because whenever someone wants to do anything with a piece of property, it's going to have a land inside the city limit. We'll have a land use category on it. And if they decide they want to do something with their land that doesn't match that land use category, then they're looking at having to do an amendment. And, of course, anything going through a public hearing process has issues where that can come up in the hearing that could sink the application the person
wants. Can you give me an example?
A good example would be the waterfront development, which came through in January. Mm-hmm. After 8 months of work. The applicants were taking a golf course that was zoned for parks open space, and they were converting it into multiple categories to accommodate a mixed-use development that had commercial, had a huge resort component, and then residential as well with some accessory uses. And that was not 90 acres was not easy to be done with just one category.
No, it was like three different zoning designations, right?
Three different land use designations were applied.
Thank you.
Correct.
Thank you. Okay.
And so that had to go through a major because of the size of the property as well, and that required a higher bar to move through the process. So that's where the rubber meets the road, is between the two documents of a zoning ordinance and a general plan, is when someone wants to do something with their property and the general plan says that's not allowed by, not contemplated by this type of land use. And so to get that zoning that you need over the top, you have to amend that plan. And that's where people will find out that it has some teeth there.
So I'll go to Shelby on this one. There's some people I've heard anyway in this town that the next big waterfront per se could be Body Beach, right? Where would this plan, this general plan, protect an area like Body Beach?
It definitely gives us some options to protect, for example, Body Beach or the north side of the island, if those come to a private developer, through auction or whatever. So what we can say is, here is our land use category, and we want this kind of development in these areas, and that would have these limitations. And then if someone comes in and says, well, we want to build houses or we want to build skyscrapers or whatever, we can say, hey, that doesn't work. This is what the communities wanted. They want to preserve this access. They want to preserve the environment there. They want to make sure we have open space. Mm-hmm. And so in order to do a major change, they're going to have to look at our goals and objectives and say, okay, people care about access, people care about open space, people care about all these things, and we're going to, as part of our plan, we're going to offer these conditions or these components, and then kind of win the community over that way. But if they're presenting something that is so far away from what the community wants to see in these land uses, then the city has a way to say, nope, that's not going to work, come back. So it gives us that ability to provide guidance, and then they need to work within that and show us how they're meeting that.
Interesting. I'm thinking back to 2016. Was Havasu Riviera even thought of then? Mm-hmm. And how did they have to comply as far as the general plan went? Mm-hmm. So, Chris?
Well, the Riviera was done over a couple of decades that was developed. And, of course, even today, it still has to follow our codes, policy, procedures based upon the ordinances that the council approved back in the 2010s regarding that project.
Okay.
So it continues to develop today based upon those approvals that were granted. So that was kind of, you could say, those ordinances were the entitlement for Riviera. And so they keep referring back to those, and we do too, to ensure that compliance is followed. Now, if they have to change parts of their plan, which they have over the years, then they have to come back and go through the whole public hearing process to amend their plan.
Wow.
And they have done that.
And I think you see some components even in the Riviera development that follow some of that, where they do have, you know, the marina for public access and some public beach access areas too, which, you know, is one thing that people want to see. They don't want to see shoreline being made entirely private. So I think you see some of those components, even though a lot of the Riviera development happened even prior to 2016, it's been in the works, you still see some of those components in there too.
Wow. Interesting. Very, very, very interesting, if you, especially if you follow the city. So we're going to come back for another 5, maybe 8 minutes, and we'll be talking again, of course, to Shelby Hennigan and Chris Gilbert from the city about the general plan and how you, the listener, can get involved, get online, and make some comments. Go through these sections. Go through these seven different points.
There are 7 different land use categories, but the document has a lot of other important stuff to read too.
And we'll talk about how long it takes to set yourself aside some time. I imagine it takes maybe, I don't know, it's not a quick survey, right?
Yeah. Well, actually, it's just a read, and you can make comments as you go. So, it's fairly user-friendly.
All right.
Yeah.
Stay with us. We'll be right back a little. I thought Golden Years was good because we've had so many general plans over the years, right?
I love
and
it.
How they evolve and change and that sort of thing, and how Havasu grows. So, a little Golden Years, David Bowie, and when we come back, we will talk with Shelby Hennigan and Chris Gilbert a little bit more before we get to Doug Segasers, the Chief Financial Officer at Valley View Medical Center and Havasu Regional Medical Center. He's a kind of a big deal, right?
Yeah, we're excited to have him.
Yeah, all right. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out.
Some of these days, and it won't be long, gonna drive back down where you once belonged, in the back of a dream car, 20 foot long. Don't cry, my son.
Haven't heard the new drummer play this yet, but I understand she's very, very good. Her name's Annika from Germany. The late Neil Peart can't play drums anymore, obviously, right? Are you an audiophile at all, Chris?
A little bit.
I noticed that when you said We Didn't Start the Fire came out in 1989. I was telling Chris I'd been in radio professionally since 1989, probably school in 88. So anyway, a little Rush. Got to wake up the front desk, you know, because Marissa's at my desk right now. So she loves Rush and Zeppelin and all of those classic rock bands that we consider, you know, staples of our generation. No, she's making them Gen Z staples. So that's the way it goes there. Speak Out, of course, broadcasting from the City Maytag Speak Out Kitchen with no sink. No sink in here. No plumbing. Just a refrigerator. My best friend.
Can confirm.
Yes. Fine City Maytag, 911 North Lake Havasu Avenue. Also, Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. By Bradley, Mojave Electric Cooperative by Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. TWN Fiber Internet by Salmon's Air Conditioning. Blonzi Steakhouse on North London Bridge Road. And A&B Propane, abpropaneaz.com. And I have to say, Blonzi's is the official breakfast spot. Steakhouse of DSM events.
<That's> if
great. You didn't know, that's where all the big meetings are held
awesome.
For DSM events. Yeah. So just just a point of interest. I don't know. I'm full of random facts. So there you have it. Later on, I would say probably next week, we'll have Diamondbacks tickets available, right? You know who they're playing on the 17th, 18th, and 19th? The Blue Jays. The six-game losing streak Blue Jays right now. Of course, in baseball, you can have a losing streak and then follow it up with winning 9 or 10 in a row. So that's just how it goes. But the Blue Jays, of course, the defending American League champs, and they'll be at Chase Field on the 17th, 18th, and 19th. Stay tuned. I would say first of next week, I'll probably start giving those away.
You can't beat that air-conditioned stadium.
You know, it's funny you say that because I went on Saturday as a birthday weekend type thing, and the roof and panels were open.
Yeah.
So it was nice enough to where you could actually enjoy an outdoor ballpark. It was phenomenal.
That's a treat down in Phoenix.
I'm a baseball lover, so absolutely. Anyway, welcome back to the show. We have Shelby Hennigan and Chris Gilbert in the studio, and we're talking about the general plan. And tell people where they can go online. I believe it's the city's website. How long is the process? What is the process like to comment on the general plan, the different points and tenets?
Sure. So you can go to the city's website. We have a banner on the top that'll take you to our general plan website. Right now, what the draft is it's about 120 pages, and it is the document that's going to eventually be reviewed and hopefully approved by the voters. Now, the way this document is set up is we have 17 components that have to be looked at because of our size. So transportation, economic growth, open spaces, education, things like that that affect us every day. And we broke those down into about five chapters.
Yeah.
So we're down into five chapters. And so each chapter provides an overview of how's the city managing our resources like water, how do we manage our open space, and then what are the goals. So in addition to talking about future land use, a lot of these chapters talk about goals and how these things can be impacted in the next 10 years and what people want to see. So if you get onto our website, you put in your email address, and then you can go through and read those sections. And if you have a comment or a question or you want clarification, you can just select that area on the page and just write your comment in, and then that'll come to us when we print it out in a spreadsheet, and we'll be responding to those comments. You don't have to do the entire thing in one sitting. You can break it down. You can even just review maybe just the sections that you find most important to you. It's very flexible in how it can be used that way. But if you wanted to sit down and read the plan start to finish, I would give yourself maybe 20, 30 minutes.
Chris, is this something that you can go through and look at past general plans to see how the city has progressed over the years? Say if you're a landowner, you want to make another investment in one section of town, and you're like, you know, I want to see what that was like 20 years ago. What is it like from then till now? Is that something you can do?
Well, our current general plan is up on our website right now, and then, of course, the one that we're working on, so there's two. If you want to go back further than that, like every 10 years back, Arizona hasn't had the requirement for a very long time, but you can probably get the 2006 one by just simply by requesting a copy of it from the city clerk's office.
Oh, okay.
All our documents are public records. And then I want to state also, for those who are not comfortable going online to make comments or to write comments in, the one thing that you would lose with that is to get a situation where you're putting in a comment and the city's providing a response. But if you're not comfortable with that, another option is to show up at the public hearings and to make statements or comments regarding the plan at that point. That's a different environment because you're actually in a physical public hearing environment, and we're no longer in the comment annotating phase.
I see.
But you can still get your comments heard at those public hearings. So I want to stress that those can work as well. And with the first hearing being a non-action hearing, the entire intent for that hearing on May 6th at the school district headquarters is to just take comment. There will be a presentation, and the rest will be just hearing from people on aspects of the plan. So I want to get that out there as well.
We still take good old-fashioned letters, too. So if people just want to sit down and write something up, they can certainly drop that by City Hall or email it to us as well. That's certainly an option.
I still get those from Speak Out listeners, right? People thanking you for promoting their event. An old-fashioned handwritten cursive letter.
It's nice.
You
I
gotta
like
love
it.
That.
It's a lost art.
Personal touch.
It is.
It is. But this is a little bit different. Is there anything we missed as far as the general plan goes and the comment period? And when does this end again? Let people know.
So the comment period will close officially April 18th, and that's just the 60-day review period. Beyond that, if you're looking at it, people are still more than welcome to write letters or reach out to us, obviously show up at the public hearings as well. But the biggest thing, I think, is that this document is supposed to represent the people of Havasu. This is a document for the public. We want people, when they go to the ballot in November, to say, hey, I had a chance to look at this, or I participated somewhere. So you're like the public's comments, it's so important. We want people to participate.
You realize that's a Saturday, right?
Yes.
So does it end at midnight on Friday or midnight on that Saturday?
I believe it's midnight on Saturday.
Oh, that's interesting.
It says that, yeah. Just because it's 60 days required. We started February 17th,
right.
And for reference, we've actually had, since we started on February 17th, we've, as of last Wednesday, we have had 458 people open up, or individual opening up of the document. We've only had about 40 comments so far, but we've had at least 458 people go and look at that document and start to look at it, or hopefully think they it's okay.
It's not an approval process, because approval will come at the polls,
correct.
Obviously,
yep.
Right, Chris?
That is correct.
If there's an approval.
That is correct.
What if there isn't? What happens?
Well, the current general plan has to stay in effect then. It doesn't get replaced. And as we discussed earlier in the meeting, the general plan is supposed to update every 10 years based on the changing needs of the community.
Okay.
And so by going with one that's already 10 years old, you're to some degree doing a disservice to the community by using the older plan instead of upgrading to a newer one. But we've hit about 22,000 people that have been reached through the process through dozens of events, which are all listed in that document. So I encourage people when they read it to look and see the different events we've attended and try to get the word out to people with all the swag, with all the handouts, and in these appearances on the radio, try to invite people to hearings and so on. So very important to attend.
Where is my swag? Did we leave it on the desk?
We left it up front. There's plenty, so you make,
you
got to share it, too.
I can't call you my new best friend if I don't know what you brought me.
I know.
Here, I thought you were going to tell me if it's not approved, you have job security.
That, too.
Chris, thanks so much for being here, putting up with my weird sense of humor. And there it is. Thank you. I'm going to let you open it, Shelby.
Oh, sure.
Let's show the audience.
Yes.
Show me, and I'll describe to the audience what it is.
Oh, got some koozies.
Got a koozie.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. All right.
Yes.
That's a big bag for a koozie.
Plenty of chapstick.
Oh,
I brought enough for you
I
to
love
share.
The city's chapstick. It's awesome.
Yes.
I'm serious. You guys have good chapstick.
And plenty of notepads.
Oh, I love those. Post-its are great.
Yes. Yeah, it's just...
Anything
I brought
else?
Plenty to share. So.
You bring me any bottles or anything like that?
No. That's... We left that outside.
No alcohol either?
Yeah, we left that outside.
Oh, my goodness. I don't drink anyway. Thank you. And again, the city's general plan, go online, lhcaz.gov.
G-O-V.
The G-O-V. Mm-hmm. All right. Doug Segesser, I promise you're going to be on, dude. He's a good guy. He's a really good guy. And thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
And folks, if you have a question, a comment, a concern, make this talk radio, not just listen radio, 928-854-5687. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us.
Shining in the sky, there ain't a cloud in sight. It's
everybody. Welcome back to Speak Out, brought to you in part by Western Arizona Regional Medical Center, also Springburg Wealth Management, by the Chair, Laughlin Ranch, Mojave College, Shooter's Outpost, Solar Power by Esme Electric, and by Dorita's Place. Gee, what's missing off of that list, Doug Segesser?
Well, I was going to say,
Five Point Hospital.
You just punched up my competitor there. So.
They sponsor the show. What can I say?
Going to have to talk to Venus about that.
Welcome back, by the way.
Good to see you again, sir.
It's great to see you. And I thought of Jody this morning because of a decision that was made by the supervisors yesterday. Did you hear about this?
No, I haven't. Didn't get to hear much about the supervisors yesterday.
Party not declared people like myself, the PNDs, we're getting a special ballot. We're not able to choose Republican or Democrat ballot for the primary.
Not to step on Jody's world, but I actually really agree with that, because what we've seen consistently is if you do not have closed primaries for your party, other parties come in. And you might remember, I can't remember what Rush called it, but back in like 2008, he tried to do that to Hillary. Got a bunch of Republicans sign up for Democratic primaries and vote against Hillary.
A busted primary
Yeah, I forget what he called it. You know, and it's a problem, because what ends up happening is you don't get the best candidates for your party. And I don't care what party it is.
Right.
Republican, Democrat. If you're not committed to the party, you probably shouldn't be part of their primary.
Do me a favor. You got the cord right over your mask right there. Yeah, there you go. Perfect. So Doug Segesser, by the way, is the chief financial officer for Life Point Western Region. Is that right?
Well, no, Western Arizona Region. So Western basically Arizona. I have Havasu, Lake Havasu City, which is Havasu Regional Medical Center, and Bullhead, which is Valley View Medical Center.
I thought that's what I said. Anyway, basically Valley View Medical Center and Havasu Regional Medical Center. You contacted me you've won a bunch of awards recently.
Yeah,
not you, but the hospital.
Yeah, don't look at me. I'm not.
You're not an award guy?
I'm not the award guy. Well, no, because the awards are about our quality. And both facilities have done incredibly well here recently with quality. The Arizona Hospital Association was recognized us a little while ago with two awards for Valley View for quality of hospitals of that size, and Havasu won two awards in our category plus the overall quality of Arizona hospitals. So we were voted by the Arizona, or not voted, but judged by the Arizona Hospital Association to be the highest quality hospital in the organization.
Which hospital was this?
Havasu Regional, right across the street.
And then I read yesterday where the CEO is going to be changing. Your CEO now is stepping down?
Yeah, so we've been in an interim. Phil Fitzgerald left us last June, and we've had an interim CEO since then, and he's stepping down to take another opportunity. So we have another interim coming in May 6th, Jeff Bourgeois, who is a great guy, works with LifePoint around the country.
It's a funny name.
It is. He's from Louisiana originally, I believe.
Oh, okay.
But Jeff and I, interestingly enough, have known each other for about 36 years, because he was one class ahead of me in graduate school back in the late 80s, early 90s. He was the class right in front of me in graduate school. So we've known each other for a very long time. I'm really excited to have him in here leading the hospital, and he'll be a great asset.
Nice. And that's Valley View in Fort Mojave?
No, that's Havasu right here.
Oh, Havasu Regional.
Yeah.
Now, well, I read that Valley View is getting a new...
Now, Valley View is the same person who's doing an interim for both has taken another opportunity, and so he's leaving the LifePoint family and going to another family. And so Marcia Patterson, our chief nursing officer up there, is going to take over as the interim chief executive officer. So lots of change, but that's this business. That's how it goes, and we've got a good, solid thing. And I have a text from Jody that says we're both wrong.
Oh, and we are. How are we both wrong?
I don't know. Let me read the text as we speak.
Okay.
Here,
from Jody Segesser, the bride of Doug Segesser.
You will have to choose which party. You can vote in the party primary, but you have to choose which party to vote for. You can't vote in both.
Well, then the writer got it wrong.
Well, I believe that.
It said something about a no-labels ballot.
Okay, well.
So I'll have to have Jody call in during Ron Gould's segment tomorrow. We can definitely get into the nuts and bolts of that, because Ron's going to want to talk about it for sure.
Well, clearly she's listening, so Jody, you know you're invited to come tomorrow.
She always listens. Yeah, she can stop by, or she can call in. Not a problem. But, you know, what was I going to ask you about The last time you were in here, we were talking about the Affordable Care Act, because of Trump had just, I don't think just became president, but there was a lot of talk about repealing the Affordable Care Act and that. Yeah. What's the state of hospitals right now financially? You're the chief financial officer.
Yeah, financially, you know.
But the industry as a whole.
The industry as a whole is struggling. There's no question about
struggling.
It. Struggling. Yeah, there's a lot of headwinds. There's a lot of aging. You know, our population's aging quickly, needing a lot of services. Medicare is Medicare. You know, it's not the best payer in the world for us, and you know we try to work with them and do what's right. But one of the things I think that's really exciting, and I think will be a positive in the long run, is this focus on fraud. Just look at what's going on in LA. If we could get those billions of dollars back for the patients who actually need care and are real patients who get real care, that's going to be incredible. You know, for us, I think it'll be a real positive for the organizations that are providing actual, real quality care. And back to that for just a second, I bragged about the Arizona Hospital Association, but we also just received an award from an organization called HealthStreams. And to get an award from HealthStreams, you have to be essentially in the top 5% of this country in quality.
Oh.
And Havasu Regional achieved that. And we're also hoping, we won't know till May 6th, but we're hoping that we'll get back to our leapfrog A status. We slipped slightly to a B last judge period. And just so you understand that, that's a top 10%.
Yeah, leapfrog is interesting. I've heard the commercials for another hospital, family, as you call it, right?
Yep.
But explain what the leapfrog award is.
Leapfrog looks at a...
That's an organization?
Continuum, right. They're an outside organization. They're independent. They don't belong to anybody. Mm-hmm. They're not part of the government. They're not part of the hospitals. They're an independent organization. They establish a continuum of things that they look at around quality of care, patient satisfaction, patient experience, and then they grade you, kind of like your old high school, right? A, B, C, D. Well, I don't know if you get a D, and you certainly don't get an F. If you do, you don't want to. They get off the list.
Is that like being in the restaurant business and getting a D?
Right, pretty much.
It doesn't exist.
But you know, we've gone. But to be fair, we've gone from a C when I got here to an A, and we hope to get back to an A. We did. So it's a little bit on a continuum, right? So it's not like I know if I do this, I'm in the top 10%. It's the top 10% of hospitals get an A. So you have to wait to find out if our numbers got us in the top 10%. We missed it. We slipped to a B last time basically by one incident that happened in the hospital that took us to an 89.6%.
Can you mention the department?
No. It's
okay.
It's not – actually, it wasn't really a department. It was actually something that happened inside the hospital walls but wasn't really a patient. So, but it's funny how those little bitty things can happen. It's such a competitive environment to get that leapfrog A. You know, that it really becomes an issue if you have just even a small little thing. And I think, lock on wood, I haven't heard yet, but hopefully by May 6th we'll have the answer as to whether or not we got back to an A.
Go ahead.
I have a lot of strength of belief that we will, given the other awards we're winning and the other things we're doing around quality.
By competitive, do you mean per state, per county?
Nationally.
Nationally?
It's nationally.
So how many people get the leapfrog?
Leapfrog A probably runs right around 500 hospitals nationally would have leapfrog A. It's about 10% of hospitals, but
there's
some
hospitals.
There's
that many hospitals in this country?
Last time I checked, there was just around, I want to say 6,000, but you have to take about several of them off. We have what are called critical access hospitals that really don't have much volume. They're there because there's nobody within 100 miles, and they keep them going.
More or less a clinic?
No, they're hospitals. Okay. They have, but a lot of times they have what are called swing beds that double as nursing home beds because they just have to do something to keep the doors open. But you know, there are a lot of little communities out there that just aren't blessed with healthcare, and they have to have these critical access hospitals. There are resources for that community.
Are you, you know, with Purdue Pharma and the opioid settlement and that, are hospitals looking at that, what's going on with those funds? Because our county's been awarded quite a sum of money in the millions, of course, from that settlement. Does that impact local hospitals at all?
Not particularly. Where we're hoping is, you know, obviously the drug prices negotiation that President Trump has been doing, mm-hmm. we think that'll impact us positively. Here locally in Arizona, as part of the Big Beautiful Bill, you know, they gave out over time $50 billion, a billion per state, for grant money to assist rural health care. And we have I believe, 4 grants teed up between the two hospitals. We are waiting for our wonderful government to give us the rules on that. So we're waiting on Maricopa County to tell us what the rules for applying for those grants are. I will tell you, LifePoint, as an organization, has won several grants in the states that have already provided those rules. So we're doing really well on that. And we have one that I can't really talk about the details, but we're really partnering up with some other local groups that need that support and rural health care, and we're going to help provide that.
Where do you think your strengths are at Havasu Regional Medical Center and at Valley View Medical Center?
Well, Havasu...
I've heard the cardiac department is top-notch.
Well, look, I worked at St. Luke's in Houston, Texas, okay? St. Luke's in Houston, Texas is where Denton Cooley practiced. Denton Cooley invented what we call invasive cardiology.
Okay.
He invented a lot of open-heart surgery.
You know a lot for a CFO.
I've been around a long time. I won't say how long. Because Jeff will get mad at me if I tell him how long, because he's a year older.
I see.
But that was one of the top heart programs in the country. I would tell you, for the day-to-day care, not the really cutting-edge stuff, but for the actual stuff that people get to use, I would put Havasu up with St. Luke's. In fact, given today's environment, I think we might actually be better than St. Luke's. They've slipped some over the years.
The day-to-day, what's an example of that?
Oh, just your cardiac casts, you're taking care of a heart attack here in the community, electrophysiology,
wow.
just a list of the basic stuff that we provide in a community this size is almost unheard of. We do 60 open-heart procedures per month, which, a good program in this country is considered 100 to 120 a year. So, we're blowing the doors out of that. We're taking care of this community and really the surrounding area, because a lot of it comes in here. Valley View is a little smaller. We're focused on primary care. We're trying to keep people in the community. One of the things LifePoint is very serious about, the number one thing on our mission statement, is make our communities healthier. So we really focus on how do we keep people in the community, because, what happens if you get airlifted to Phoenix or Vegas? And what if you don't have family to come help you?
Yeah.
How do you get home? Your
right.
truck's in my parking lot.
Right.
How do you get back to it?
You just described incarceration for a lot of people.
At some level, it kind of becomes that way because, but then the hospital, yeah. Say Sunrise, naturally discharges them as they're supposed to.
Oh, in
how
Vegas.
How do they get home?
In Vegas, yeah.
Right. Now, how do you get home? You don't have your car.
Sunrise Hospital's...
No, Sunrise is part of the HCA.
Oh, okay,
system.
Right.
So, yes,
wow.
Many, many years ago, I actually worked with them.
No, that makes a lot of sense. So, as I would say, media, news, radio, newspapers, that sort of thing, have focused on local. Hospitals are doing the same thing to survive.
Yeah, well, it is. Hospitals are always a local business. We may be a national company. LifePoint is. We have between rehab, behavioral health, and acute care, we have over 140 hospitals across mm-hmm. the country. But each hospital is focused on its community. And our folks, David Dill at the very top, Jason Zachariah runs the acute care division, they come to town. And what they want to hear about is, what are we doing to make Havasu better? What are we doing to make Bullhead better mm-hmm. today? And how do we provide the services that the people in these towns need? So we talked about cardiac, but we missed orthopedics. And orthopedics for our community is huge. And so we've really stood up.
I'm getting there.
Several new orthopedic surgeons have come to town recently. We've got several new general surgeons either here or coming to town. So that's really providing us a lot of neat opportunities there. We're doing a lot of investment in the hospital capital-wise to improve the facility. So we're fixing, some problems that come with our water and other things that are fun here in Havasu. So we're really putting the investment into the community to be a bigger part of the community. And I think that's the key element, is we want people to understand we're not fly-by-night. We're not here for any other reason than to make this community a better place to live. And I think that's really key. And that's why you see the focus on quality that we have and the change in that quality over the last 3 or 4 years.
Nice. So I'm looking at the – people can't see me, but I'm looking at the time and that sort of thing. I'm going to stretch this a little bit because I like the conversation. We're going to take it up to the top of the hour with news, and then, of course, the Sean Hannity Show. But we'll take our commercials right at the top of the hour. So anyway, Doug Segesser is our guest, the CFO for Valley View Medical Center and Havasu Regional Medical Center. But you see the national commercials, and you hear them, of course, if you listen to sports on the radio like I do, the Mayo Clinics mm-hmm. and that. You guys don't compete with them, though.
Well, yes and no.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you have to understand, the Mayo Clinic is great. But the Mayo Clinic, and I always use the one I'm most familiar with is Houston, and I'm totally, because you put me on the spot,
blanking
the name, but the big cancer center in Houston,
MD
Anderson.
Yes.
MD Anderson is a wonderful place, but I'll use my dad. My dad came down with prostate cancer when I was living in Houston, and I was actually working with MD Anderson at the time. So I called up the lady in charge of the prostate program, and the first thing she did was talk to me and talk to my mother and get a feel for what the clinical picture was, and she said, you know what, you don't need us. This is not, I don't want to say run-of-the-mill because no cancer is run-of-the-mill, but this is a normal procedure. Here's a great doctor here in town. Go see him. He'll take care of you. And he did. My dad's been cancer-free for 30-plus years.
Wow.
So, you know, we're not competing with the Mayo at the top end of everything, but in terms of your basic day-to-day care that you need, you don't need the Mayo Clinic. You don't need these high-end places. What you need is good, solid care in your community, and that's what we provide.
That makes sense. How can people finally keep their health care costs down? Just a general, I know that's like another hour, right?
Yeah, that's a lot. You know, again, a lot of it's preventative. Just do the preventative work. Listen to your primary care physicians. Take care of yourself. Do the right things. And then when you do get sick, you know, I've got a friend that's been back in the hospital two or three times because he wouldn't follow the directions.
Do vitamins and supplements really matter?
You know, I'm not clinical, so I'm not going to speak to
that. Okay. you just play a CFO on the radio?
Yeah, well, I'm not allowed. You know, the nurses would yell at me if I said the nurses and doctors. But, you know, the reality is, you know, talk to your doctor about what makes the most sense.
Thanks, Doug. I'm not playing you off, but I kind of am.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to do this again tomorrow, of course. Ron Gould will be on, District 5 County Supervisor Ron Gould. And Doug Segesser, always good to have you on the show. I always wish.
Always
I had,
good to be here.
I should just schedule you for an hour. I don't know why I don't, but probably because of your schedule, not mine.
I used to say, getting an hour out of my schedule is a challenge.
Yeah, there you go. All right, we'll be back tomorrow at 11 o'clock. I always ask, what time is the show? What time is the show? Well, if you listen, it's at 11. All right, Hannity's up next, preceded by Fox News. Thanks for joining us today.
This is KNTR Talk, KJJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.